Amused Bouche is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
I harvested that one through its asshole. Wait. Hello, everyone. My name is Jen.
My name's Abby.
And this is
Amused Bouche.
Season number two.
Yeah.
Clipping along.
Holy cow.
So we're excited to be here with a special guest this evening.
Yeah.
I'm largely ignorant to the things that this person is going to teach us about. So I'm excited, like you, dear listeners, to learn something tonight and maybe take away a lesson or two.
Yeah. Let's have some opinions tonight, yeah. Right? Let's have opinions that maybe hot takes. Yeah. Hot takes or like opinions that maybe I didn't know I had. Maybe I had an opinion when I came into this conversation. I'm super excited to introduce friend of mine, entertainer here in the Queen City. This is Jared Schenk.
Hello.
Hi, Jared. Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see both of you.
Yeah.
But we're not necessarily here to talk about entertaining necessarily.
I shall be entertained, I think.
We're going to be entertained.
Yeah.
But this is a bit of a darker, I would say, maybe. Maybe.
Possibly. Topic. Depending on your opinion.
Which could change by the end of
this. We've made this creepy. Our listeners are like, what is happening?
What is going to talk? Let's talk about death.
Oh, what?
Let's just talk about death and how we are, as humans, so far removed from it, generally speaking. I go to a grocery store and I can pick out every individual piece of chicken or ground up beef. I don't know where any of that stuff comes from. And I've talked to a lot of people whose kids like don't even know what that food looks like when it's whole. Like someone who's like, ooh, I can't buy a whole chicken because it looks too much like a chicken, right? I find that such a like an interesting perspective. I think it's really important to know like where my food comes from, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's
going to be like, it's respectful if we're going to be consumers of it.
Yeah.
It's good to understand your role in the food chain.
Well, and especially on this podcast, right? I think we've talked so much with really amazing restaurateurs in the area who go and work really closely with local farms and things like that because they want to be as close as possible to their food. But there is an even closer level to your food, right?
When you murder it.
When you murder it, right?
When you get it yourself.
So that's what we're here to talk to Jared about. So Jared, you are a hobby hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to ask you a little bit and learn about the process of hunting, you know, what you hunt, how someone hunts, you know, and I'd love to start with just the obvious question. Jared, how old were you when you took your first life?
Mm. How old was I when I took my first life? I was actually, let's see, how old am I now? I think I was 27 or 28. It's pretty recent.
Okay. So this is already starting to be not the conversation I expected, right? Most folks that I know that hunt have been doing it their whole life, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you would go out like with your grandpa and your dad and your mom and then like everybody would go.
So you weren't gifted like...
No, so my dad wasn't really a hunter and that's kind of how you get into hunting for a lot of people.
Trying to impress your dad.
Trying to make dad know that you can also do stuff.
You can also not cry while you kill something. Yeah.
You can also turn off your feelings so that Bambi can die.
Jesus.
So I got into it through my brother who got into it through some other
story.
No, anyway, your brother. Different route.
Jared is straight.
He got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies. Hello. He got into it through a friend of his who already hunted, which basically that's how you get into hunting is
you know a guy.
You meet somebody that hunts and you say, can I go with you? And
they say, shut up, you talk too much, you can't come.
No,
or
pretty
they
much
take your mouth shut.
Quite the opposite. Like most hunters are like, I would love to take you out hunting. Like they want to share their hobby. They want to share, you know, what I don't know
what they're into.
The joy of hunting. It's like Bob Ross version of hunting.
But it's not creepy. Like
I mean, it could be, right?
Like the look in your eyes that you got just now and you're like, I would love to take you out into a fort in the middle of the woods for a long time.
Right out into the wilderness.
Right. So yeah, I think there's some prejudgments that many of us have about like who exactly is the hunting type.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't necessarily fit the mold.
You are wearing
super
flannel.
Well, I am wearing flannel, but I'm also wearing like joggers, and I might go to yoga later.
Booty
like,
shorts. He's wearing booty.
He's wearing booty shorts. Ladies.
Yeah. Hello. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were we talking about?
So, how? Like, I don't remember.
we're all gone. You know.
Sorry, my butt's distracting for some people.
Tell me about it. So let's talk a little bit let's just pivot and talk a little bit more about the hunting philosophy, because I know a lot of people kind of think about hunting in a negative light. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of that is thinking about hunting stereotypes of people, or how much of that is actually the act of hunting.
Of like murdering a thing.
Right. So I think some people might think about hunting as like you just want to kill an animal to watch it die. Mm.
So like at that point, I'm envisioning like the picture of like the bison skull stacked up to a mountain high, like when we were doing the westward expansion of the United States.
Yeah.
And that's like probably
totally,
not
total somebody in Africa for the animal,
with like a lion that someone
corralled. Like sport hunting for just like
that kind of stuff is gross.
Stuffed animal.
So a different thing, you're saying. Than
Different thing. So like I hunt so that I can eat red meat that's responsibly harvested.
Okay.
What do you mean by responsibly harvested?
What I mean is, like, I know exactly where that deer came from. I know, like, what it was eating. I know it had a good life and a very quick and merciful death.
If you did it right.
If I did it right, which I did do it right, that deer had a very merciful death. Yeah, that's, like, the ideal is, like, let's harvest this animal as humanely as possible. And I mean, I've gotten more into it partly as an environmental thing. That's another thing you'll find is a lot of the most ardent environmentalists and conservationists are hunters. So like you've got PETA out there for sure, and you've got other organizations that are doing great work kind of right alongside hunters who are like, public lands are really important and we need to manage the population of these animals so that the entire habitat can thrive.
And it also seems like, you know, with found food, you know, whether you're foraging for edible berries or for, you know, whatever out there, or meat, it seems like it is taking up less of an impact because they're essentially in the natural habitat of themselves compared to, like, the big farm lots, the feed lots that you have tons of cattle on. And isn't methane, like, a huge contributor to to you know, emissions right now or something like that.
So maybe that's a logistical question that I don't know. Is it free? If you have like a hunting license, I guess, if I go kill a deer and take it home and I'm like, yum,
yeah, what are
dinner.
The parameters here?
Do I have to pay someone for that? Like, what is it? So, or is it just like founders, keepers?
So a year-round hunting license is actually fairly cheap. And then you pay also for a tag for that particular deer.
What's a tag?
Like
a
for
tag
its ear?
Is, I mean, in some states, it's a physical tag. It's like a sticker that you wrap around like a hoof or a piece of the antler that says, this is where and when I harvested this deer. Here's my license number.
Who do you give that to?
So you would show that at the processor, or you would show that to a game warden if they were out there and
just like
came
QA.
Across your truck. Yeah,
yeah, making QA. Sure you're
so like
not.
You may not see anybody that needs to see your tag, but if somebody sees you with a deer or any animal that you're not supposed to have without a tag, you're in big trouble.
So that also makes me think about like there are hunting seasons, right? So I think also this whatever the government of each state is maintaining, it's also like you can only hunt certain things in certain seasons to help control those populations in the right ways as well. And so it sounds like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like you can't just shoot as many deer as you see.
No.
What are the parameters for, like, if it's deer season where you hunt, which is South Carolina, I think,
South
sometimes?
Carolina mostly is where I hunted this season.
So what are the general rules? If you were going to take me along, what do I need to know so I don't just start shooting everything I see that moves?
Well, first rule is maybe don't shoot everything you see that moves. Make sure
Dick
you know
Cheney
what it
taught
is.
Me different. So
party pooper.
So the parameters are, I mean, you can only buy a certain limited number of tags per person, but basically like if you want to go hunting, you get licensed up, and most states require like a gun safety course if you're hunting with a rifle, and you have your tags, you basically have all of the paperwork ready to go such that if you get one, you've already got your tag and you put it right on that deer. And
it's like you're peeing on it.
Yeah, it's like, this is mine. I claim this.
Neat. Okay, I'm on board now.
And some people will take it from there, from if they kill one in the field, they'll take it to a processor who will cut it up for them. I actually learned how to process my own deer from my cousin, who is a lifetime hunter.
Let's unpack this, because I want you to walk me through the process of like, even before we get to processing that deer, how you go, like, wake me up on the morning of the hunt and take me in the pickup truck, I assume.
Tell us a
story. To the place that we're going.
All right. It's a very luxurious 3 a.m.
No, ooh, fuck this. I don't want to.
It's only 1 hour earlier than I normally wake up. I'm here for it.
I'll just get Chick-fil-A on the way to work. Sorry.
Yeah, you get up well before the ass crack of dawn because you want to be ready and sitting in your stand or your blind or whatever, wherever you're sitting and waiting to see deer. You want to be there and quiet at least an hour before the sun comes up.
Like before the deer wake up.
Yeah, basically you want to be there and like have disturbed the area very, very little so that when the deer wake up and start coming through, they don't sniff you and say, wait, something's up. I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, you got to sneak attack.
You're part of it.
Like it's from before you get in the truck, actually. It's like you're washing your clothes in scent-free detergent.
Ooh.
You're taking a shower to like mask your scent.
Do you like position yourself downwind?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you want the wind to be in your face so that they're not smelling you. Their sense of smell is incredible.
Because it has to be, right?
And like, their sight is not very good at all. Mm-hmm. So that's why
when
camo.
You know, sometimes I see something and I'm like, come on, son.
Like a deer.
No,
camo.
But clearly a deer is not as good at seeing stuff as I thought they were.
What about, like you said, you have to be quiet. That alone would be difficult. But like, are they super, like, are they dogs? Are they like?
They have pretty good hearing. Like, you definitely don't want to be making much noise. Like if you clink your gun in the wrong way, then.
They're gone. Well, I mean, they're a prey animal, right? So, which means they're going to run when they hear anything because it's safer to just get out of there and figure it out later than it is to assess the situation.
That is not true for some of the deer that I have come across in hiking. They have been a little a little forward
during the
frankly.
Rut. Oh yeah, during the rut, those little bucks are little bastards because I was just walking my dog in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, one came out pursuing a doe and then thought Max, my Great Dane, who was the size of a buck, he was like, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to throw down with you. And like came up and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get in the middle of this fight between this deer and my dog. Yeah. Like, who is going to win? Because I don't know.
Maybe the deer would like thought
he
Max
was a sexy
was a doe.
Deer. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get up.
Like, he doesn't have any horns on yet.
I'm trying to hit that. Antler.
Sexy little dog. My poor Max.
Poor Great Dane.
No, but I was walking Georgia. This was a couple of months ago. And we were on like one of the trails in the back of our house. And she stopped and did like the pointer thing. And was like, oh. And I looked and I was like, oh, come on. So like homie was just standing in the middle of the trail as if he had been walking by and saw us and then did like the freeze thing. And then I had to yell at it to like get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
He just stood there.
They don't care.
Like locked eyes with me like. You trying to hang out or like go watch Netflix or something? I don't know. It was like, I have a tiny little dog with me. I cannot. So I yelled.
He assessed the situation, determined he could throw down with you, and made you choose.
He like stomped his little feet and was like, yeah, I'm going to hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of the way it is with deer in the city. Like, there's like, to my knowledge, you got to jump through a lot of hoops to be able to hunt at all in Mecklenburg County. And then that's only archery.
I assume that's probably just due to like population
it's
density.
Population,
like you don't
want
to accidentally shoot a person.
Right.
Right. Her. But so that makes me like how big of a problem is overpopulation of deer like in the city limits?
It's a huge problem in the city limits. Because like basically the only way that a deer dies in the city limits is by a car.
Yeah.
Because all the predators have also been chased out of the county.
All the coyotes
so nobody
are picking
want,
on little dogs
nobody
now,
wants
right?
coyotes in the city. So like deer in the city don't have any natural predators other than cars, and that's actually a pretty horrible way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a
fast death often.
Yeah, no, they'll walk around with broken legs
and
for weeks and months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deer run into cars too.
And it's a big problem. Like different cities have different ways of dealing with it. Like a smaller city will usually do like an urban hunt mini season. And basically they'll
like the purge.
Yeah. They'll get people like with their bows and arrows and like, hey, if you've got a spot, go ahead and harvest like.
Can I borrow
this
some
many.
Tags?
Can I use our atlatl?
Your atlatl?
We have an atlatl.
It's like a javelin.
It is.
A
we have
javelin?
It. We have it. Do you know
with
what an
a,
atlatl is?
With
it's
a
like
handle
a prehistoric
on it.
Throwing spear with an itty bitty handle and then a giant 3-foot essentially arrow bolt, uh-huh. and you fling it. Anyway, Jacob has one now because happy birthday, Christmas, Jacob, whatever
Hello.
Year I got.
Violent for him. Toys are the way to
yeah.
go.
And it's super fun. It's super hard. But that was like the first like range weapon,
mm-hmm.
which is fascinating. Anyway,
yeah,
but like,
you could use that. Yeah. I mean, like yeah. you could.
You're going
to
end the deer.
If you can tackle
that.
A deer and choke it out, then like that's
yeah,
a legal
okay, so
way
that's,
to do it.
That's a great question. So we can use a bow. We can use a rifle. Fists.
Those are most common, but you could throw down fisticuffs with Bambi in the woods.
Okay.
And then,
but Bambi, though, are you allowed to shoot a
Bambi was a
baby
buck.
Deer?
Technically, oh. yes. Yeah, so the
a baby.
With the spots on.
You could. Nobody does that.
Yeah, but you
why
could.
Would you?
You could.
Holy shit.
Nobody
I thought,
does that, though.
Wait, I thought there were, like, regulations around, like, you can't cull, like, does, or is it in the season you can because there's too many of them, or, like, what's the deal about, like, genders?
Like unspoken
I only
rule.
See people shooting,
like
bucks.
Kind of the, like, it's more unspoken, and it's different state to state, but more unspoken is, like, don't shoot a fawn because it's going to grow up to be a deer, and then you shoot it and
yeah.
get more meat.
Got it.
But
and
the tags
it's
are
a
also.
Baby.
It's a, just a little baby.
But also veal and lamb, so don't even start with me. Delicious it's babies.
Yeah,
are
but
delicious.
Is it better than? I mean,
it's
I
so
feel like
tender.
We would have talked about it.
It's so tender.
I feel.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
Okay, so Jared has murdered a baby deer.
You murdered a baby deer.
Not a baby deer. I married a regular.
You married a wow. This
I married
turn.
The baby deer.
Congratulations,
I married
Jared.
The baby deer. And then murdered
its parents so
its
that
parents,
you could
so
kidnap
could
it and
marry,
marry
it.
It.
Yeah, because they were
get
not,
all
they
of
did
its,
not approve.
No. It's inheritance.
Of our union. What is the age of consent in venison?
Nope. About a year and a half.
All right.
A quick save the date for you guys. Something really cool coming up in Charlotte is the Charlotte Wine and Food Week. That's April 26th through May 1st of this year. Visit charlottewineandfood.org to find out what's going on. Abby and I will be there at the Grand Tasting, but they've got all sorts of things going on, and it's all for an incredible cause. Check out their website again, charlottewineandfood.org. Read about the charities, sign up for events, and we'll see you there.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
So now you have gotten into your blind or your stand. You are covered head to toe in camo. You've duct taped my mouth shut so I won't talk the whole time. You've got your hand not on the trigger because that is unsafe.
Correct.
But you are essentially now watching and waiting. And it is now pre-sunrise, yes. But maybe we're just starting to hear some birds chirping. Beep, beep.
Yep. Chirp. Hearing a little bit of scuffling here and there.
What if you have to pee?
In your pants.
You go in your pants.
What? Do you keep like a Gatorade bottle in your pants?
I mean, I pee before I get in the stand.
As you should, I guess. Preparing.
I'm just really stressed out by this whole endeavor.
Jen's
I mean,
not camp
it is
either.
A,
I don't
it
like
is a lot of like.
I don't poop in the woods.
So much of it is just sitting in the middle of the wilderness, being still and quiet.
Do you put that's your like beer
it's,
into
it's almost meditative.
A tumbler so you don't crack open?
I generally don't mix.
Do they smell weed?
Alcohol with
firearms and
if I
alcohol.
Bring my vape pen,
how common
are they
is
know?
That though? Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, how come? Anyway, don't care. Here's what I want to know. So now a deer is walking past, and it's the perfect deer. You see it and decide, this is the one I want to murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Little perfect angel baby. it's about so to be sad. An angel baby. So what makes, for you to determine, like, what makes a good deer? Like, you're like, I'm going to kill that
I'm
one. That's
go
a good one
it.
To kill. Or are you going to let one walk
I'm
by? Like, how are you deciding?
So I'm deciding based on, I mean, part of it is just based on what you want. Like if you're out there and you're trying to harvest meat to put in your freezer, then you're probably
you
a little
fatty.
Bit less, well, yeah, you want a fatty, but you're a little less picky. Mm-hmm. So like you might, if you're just looking for meat, you might shoot a 4-point buck, a younger buck. If you're looking for, I want a really cool head mount,
yeah.
then you're probably going to let that buck pass so it can grow up. Mm. And then you shoot it when it's like a 10 or a 12 point.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, you showing me pictures of the deer that you got this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at it and being like, oh, it's got like little, you know, it's a smaller, in my mind, it was like a smaller deer.
It's like a teenager.
Yeah, it was a younger deer, which I've already been eating on it and it's delicious.
Yeah, just imagine you gnawing on it. Like that's what I saw.
Well, I want to talk about the food that you make with your deer. So let's talk about the step right between. So now you've shot your deer. Mm-hmm. It's died a quick death. Where do you shoot a deer so that it dies quickly?
Through the lungs.
Okay, great. So it just like chokes on its own blood
basically,
real quick.
Like, just very, very quickly. It's, I mean, shot and it drops dead.
Through the lungs, it's does that? Right down. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're not like wheezing.
They're not like for a few hours. They're dead right there. Right. Okay. I mean, yeah. If you get a good shot, they're drop down. They're dead. Right on the ground. They're
How many deer have you killed in your time?
Three? Four? Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's not like a madman. He's not
I got to a point this season. I got like my second deer, and it was like a pretty big one. And I was like, you know what? I'm just one guy. Like I only need so much meat. I'm not gonna go hunting anymore. I'd like to. I love the experience, but I'm not just gonna kill an animal for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
If you need somewhere to offload, like tenderloin and stuff,
backstrap.
Oh yeah,
we got
you'll get some of that backstrap. Yeah, you'll get some of that backstrap.
All right, so now you've got your deer. It is now dead. We are saying our little prayers for its babies. Mm-hmm. And now you are going to take that deer somewhere so that it can be processed. So you could either go and pay someone to do the processing for you, where they do all the stuff and cut it up, or like you were saying, you can do it yourself if you're versed in how to do it. And there is a very important way to do it.
Yeah, how do you do it?
Don't do things wrong, right? Because you can do it real wrong and ruin it.
You can do it real wrong.
I've tried to butcher a chicken before and been like, no, I love shouldn't it. Do
I
this
love
again.
Butchery, which is a couple times I had opportunity to come out and process with you, and I couldn't make it happen. And so next year we're gonna do it. Yeah, I love butchery. Season, it's for me, it's as close to the animal, and like I love anatomy too, so it's just a fascinating process for me. But anyway, so tell us a little bit about how you process deer by hand.
Yeah, so whether you're taking it to a processor or not, you may do a field dressing, which is basically gutting it in the field to aid in meat cooling and leave the nasty stuff out in the field for the buzzards and like let them have their share. So this year that was the case. I was field dressing it starting from that booty, loosen it up.
Yeah. Sorry, what?
Loosen things up. Starting from the booty.
You got to start butt first.
You start from the butt.
You just got to cut
around the butt. Basically, you're cutting around everything that involves digestion.
And it's one unending tube, right? From the mouth to the butthole.
Ass to mouth,
ass to mouth. It's just one tube connected through a lot of different organs. So, you know, if you take it all out at once.
Do you just, like, cut... I'm 5 years old. I'm sorry.
You take construction scissors, chilled scissors.
It's like, it's like someone pulling a scarf out of their shirt sleeve. It just keeps on. Like, you don't just pull it out.
No. No. You start by cutting around the butt. You don't end there. You don't just cut around the butt and pull.
But you're here to teach me, so.
But yeah. So you cut around, you cut up kind of the middle of it, and like you get yourself abdomen. Into... like under the diaphragm into that kind of stomach cavity.
So you're like
cavity.
Opening it up.
Opening it up. Splaying it out.
Spatchcock.
Pulling out all the nasty stuff.
Yeah. Is it, have you like hung this in a tree to like do this?
Do you
do it on the ground?
You can do it on the ground. You can hang it in a tree if you've got some rope and a gambrel.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
Gambrel is like think like a clothes hanger, a shirt hanger.
Oh.
But
just
with
hang
hooks
your deer out to dry.
I'm getting squeamish now, guys.
This is where you need to go and see a butcher. Like these
this is important.
I just love meat. I love meat so much.
I love it from start to finish.
I just texted my fiance and said, I want you to cook chicken wings.
I'm making chicken wings for dinner too.
Are you?
Yeah. Love it. Anyway, so we're talking about removing all of the innards from an animal. Mm-hmm. So you're basically starting, if you have it in the gambrel, you're starting from the butt and moving down towards the esophagus, right, to pull all the stuff out.
Yep.
And so now you've gotten to that point. You've removed all of the organs. Are there any organs that you keep?
You can keep the liver. You can keep the kidneys.
I know.
That's
you keep the heart.
Preference thing. You do keep the heart.
Does
I keep
everyone?
The heart.
Okay.
Not necessarily everyone does. It's one of my favorite cuts.
If you got bacon on hand,
we're going to talk about that.
We can call back to Friendsgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Friendsgiving. They know who you is. Jared was not fucking around. Thanks.
Really?
Friendsgiving
The appetizer.
He comes in. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, hey, I just brought some bacon wrapped venison hearts.
Yeah.
And I'm looking directly at Brian now to be like, Brian, this happened. This was a thing. And they were incredible. And I was so impressed because some of our friends, it was their very first time even trying venison.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then that was the first thing was a freaking heart. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
And it was like if you
had. And also, let's clarify, it wasn't multiple deer hearts, each one wrapped in bacon. It was a heart
very
cut into
small,
cubes.
Right. Well, fair. Next we time. Did not Dancing with Wolves it, but or Daenerys. But we did not do that. But it was fantastic.
And it didn't taste like... I don't eat heart of anything, really. Yeah. And if you hadn't told me that's what it was just like kind of a neat, chewier
It
cut.
Didn't have an overly organ-y taste, which many organs that I have had not enjoyed. I'm looking at you, liver. It's just so irony.
She's looking at her own liver.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, liver.
You regenerating piece of shit.
I want to look, y'all laugh now, but I'm going to donate half of this bitch. And
what?
Yeah, that's been one of my goals my whole life was to donate part of my liver as a living donor to someone. So
this is a different episode, Abby. I don't know how to cook that. I don't want to talk about it.
Y'all don't have to cook it. Someone needs it to live.
It was a joke.
That's a story for another time. So, but like, what are some of the other things that you like to cook? Because there's so many different cuts and ways that you can handle that meat. Because now you've got essentially like, how much meat do you have off of one deer? Two deer is what you caught this season. Mm-hmm. So like, how much is that? What kinds of cuts do you get?
So, I mean, it kind of remains to be, it depends on how much of it I eat and how quickly I eat it. But like, I feel like I'm going to be making meals with that venison that I got this season, like all year long, and I'm not going to run out.
That means he's got enough
that
to
means I'm
going to
give some away.
Oh, snap.
And basically like I'm using that as like my replacement for, beef.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like not going to buy beef this year.
And that's
so
you
just
do, like,
use
ground
venison instead.
And that is what I have done. So when I was in college, my roommate's dad was a hunter. And so they would hunt and bring all of that processed meat back. There was some ground venison. There were some, you know, steaks and backstrap and loin and whatever. And so we had all that stuff in the freezer. And so for a good year, I replaced almost everything I made with beef with venison. And it's my preference.
Really?
One of my all-time... Mm. Yes, I love it. And for someone who's not, like, aware, they're not going to... There are people who like won't eat lamb, won't eat venison because they just have like an ick factor about where it came from for some reason. Mm. And it just is who you are. But like, I mean, I'm real good at like not telling you where it came from. And then you try it and then you like it. And then I go, ha ha, I tricked you.
I gotcha.
Good.
Here it is.
Screw
I
consent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it's not important, right?
Gotcha.
So, but like,
ask forgiveness, not permission.
That's
when
right.
It comes to meat.
When it comes
I harvested
to meat,
that one through its asshole. Wink.
That should be your, that should not be on your dating profile. Do not put that there. But yeah, so like one of my favorite meals was with ground venison and replacing it in like a cottage pie. Shepherd's pie is made with lamb. Cottage pie is generally made with ground beef, but I do it with ground venison.
Yeah.
So maybe there's another term for it that we'll have to come up with. Instead of cottage pie, it'd be like deer blind pie.
Yeah.
Deer blind pie.
Deer blind pie.
Deer blind pie.
That kind of sounds like dessert, though.
It really does.
Would y'all like to retire to the library for some deer blind pie?
A nice slice of deer blind pie.
Yeah.
Some whipped cream on top. Stop. I'm sorry.
That's not even an area I can venture
into. So, I mean, like one of the nice things about having processed the deer myself is like you just get a little bit more of an understanding of like why certain cuts are used for certain meals. Like when you're cutting into a certain area and separating that out,
the
you
genitals.
Would think like, okay, so those would be, yeah, that's sure, the genitals. Say...
Why not?
Yeah, well, I've never
like
personally
bowls?
Tried
you,
that.
Like deer
You've not
testicles?
Tried them.
I've not tried deer nuts, no.
Have you tried other animal nuts?
I have not, no. No Rocky Mountain oysters for me.
I've had Rocky Mountain, yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
Are they
yeah,
good?
Yeah. They're not bad.
Are they like organ meat?
It's a texture thing. They're like
it's
a little sponge.
Thing.
Little deep fried sponge.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little bit, maybe it's a little bit different for me from being one that has
I mean,
organs like
here's
that.
The thing. Like I can understand that because like, I don't know how stoked I'm going to be about, like, here, have some fried uterus. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, this is a weird episode. Someone was like, yeah, we can't be gone from the studio this long anymore. It's not good.
We're rusty. Okay, so you've got this freezer full of venison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the best thing that you've ever made with it?
Ooh, best thing I've ever made was probably a masala curry.
What?
I made this pretty recently out of some sirloin, which comes off of the back ham.
What?
The back ham.
The hamburger.
Like in the booty area. It's in the booty.
This is not ham.
It's in the booty.
Like the ham hock.
And it's basically like any kind of stew meat will do, any kind of stew cut.
In a gravy. Call it a day.
Braised it. Makes its own goddamn gravy.
That just got sexual for some
reason. Again, he's single ladies. Put it in some masala simmer sauce.
I also make my own goddamn gravy.
And she said, oh, yes, you do.
So sorry. You set that up. I had to knock it out. Gross. Sorry, Jeff.
But yeah, simmered it in like just a masala simmer sauce that I got, I think, at Trader Joe's.
Yep.
Now, Hero's about to be bragging up on your cooking chops because you did work in an Indian restaurant.
I did.
So
yeah.
you know what's up, but so this I was could, ease of
this one was easy. Just like braise a couple of cuts of meat and then pour some simmer sauce and some vegetable stock over it.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
And let it just simmer for a few hours and let the house smell amazing.
That's half the fun.
Put that stew over whatever else you want. Throw some potatoes and carrots in there if you want. Like,
I love a pot roast. There's a lot of braising things,
a lot of like slow cooking is kind of what you want to do because it's a very lean meat. Like it's almost exactly like goat.
Oh,
like the basically the same animal. Not flavor wise, but like as far as leanness and like muscle structure goes, it's basically a tall goat.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would say because again, I've eaten my fair share of venison, right? And so. I love it, and one way that I love to prepare it is like with backstrap, or you know, with a beautiful like tenderloin. There's you're talking slow cooking of those like tougher pieces or tender, you know, to tenderize them. But then there are these pieces that are so tender on their own, and they're very lean. But I love like quick cooking them, so a quick sear in a pan.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ways, a fillet exactly. And so like you can do little medallions and stuff, and just a quick sear on those. I love doing that with like a cherry sauce, and then like mashed potatoes and like greens of some sort, like green beans or broccoli. It's so good. It's one of my favorites. So that's on the list of when he gives me some, that's what I'm going to do with it.
All right, so let's say that I don't hunt and I'm not interested in it. Can I find venison, like, other than raiding your freezer? Is it a thing that you can buy? Like, I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Not really.
People don't farm it?
People don't really farm it, and you're, like, part of the conservation effort and the management of the deer population is to not sell the meat that you hunt.
Oh.
So like if I go and harvest a deer, I can give you a cut as a gift. I can't sell you a cut. Oh. That's illegal.
It's like at the end of it's basically Chinese meal, you have to, your fortune cookie has to be given to you. You can't choose your own.
I only learned that like a year ago. So that's why I've had a string of bad luck
in this Americanized Chinese rule book.
But yeah, I mean, that's basically to like prevent people from having an incentive to take too many deer.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So yeah, if you don't know somebody that hunts and you want venison,
get your life right first.
Hold on, because
go ahead and meet somebody that hunts.
I was about to say, if you don't know anybody who hunts, just go on your Facebook and type a question, "Hey, do I know anybody who hunts?" Because you do.
Oh yeah.
You do. Just the law of like statistically, you know someone who hunts.
Is it like, is it something precious to you, though? Like, if I know somebody who hunts, can I be like, hey, I'd love to try some of that. Can you give it? Or can I buy some of it off of you?
Well, it's such a rare...
I've not had the opportunity to try it as many times as both of you have. And I don't even... Other than, like, going onto my Facebook and crowdsourcing that, I don't know what I would do. But if I'm, like, interested in trying bits and pieces...
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I can just speak for myself. Like, I love sharing it with people.
Cool.
I don't know about lots of other hunters. Some may be stingy with it.
Yeah.
Most of the hunters that I've met love sharing it. Hmm. Just because, like, it's a really unique experience to go out and harvest an animal yourself and be like, here.
I got this.
I got this.
Are you, like, proud of it?
And cut it out of its asshole. Carcass for you. Here.
This is, like, the next frontier for me, personally, because it's always been my goal to have my own animals, like, in a farm situation that I raise my way. I know exactly how they live their lives. They have a great life. And then I end it in a quick and humane way and then process them myself because I know where exactly where my food came from. I don't want it to be having to travel a lot and stressing and all that kind of stuff. But the step back, you know, is going and finding your food, right? There's a great show. It's a British chef. And I want to say his name is Mike Robinson. There's a show on the Outdoor Channel, I want to say, called Farming the Wild. I just discovered this on Hulu. So
the
I don't
Outdoor Channel.
I don't even know that I didn't even know I had it.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But it just happened to come up in a recommendation. And he has some incredible restaurants in the UK and some that he partners with. He goes out and, you know, there isn't public land in the UK. It's all private. Right, so you can't just do it the way that we do with getting a license.
Owned by the people at Downton Abbey.
That's exactly
I know
right.
This because I watch
it's owned
it.
By the they gentry, and so you know he has exceptions to go and hunt on people's estates to control their population stuff, but then also create this bridge for people so that they have the opportunity to try this food that they otherwise would likely not have a chance to. And I think that's so interesting, and that again he just wants to use recipes and styles and strategies for getting the food that have lasted through antiquity, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have been hunting food since we have been humans, right? And so that's something that I think is really interesting for us to not lose, just because it gives us a connection back to our most primal selves in the best way, not in a barbaric kind of way, but like in a respect of the earth way.
And well, that's not like a mass farming kind of, we've all seen things that don't make us proud to be meat eaters. Yeah. So I would say, as squeamish as it makes me, it's nice to know that there are people that would prefer to do things the respectful way versus like gestation crates and you know all that nonsense that I support mindlessly.
Do you know what a Judas goat is?
Oh God, please
I just
don't tell
learned
me.
About a Judas goat.
Please don't tell me what a
I'm
Judas goat is.
I'm
going to
tell you guys because this is fascinating. It slaughterhouses. They keep a goat on staff who, like, when they bring in a truck of other goats that are or animals that are like sheep or whatever that are going to be brought in
they're
to
like,
be
look,
processed.
Everything's fine.
They go. We're too scared to get out. And then out comes this goat who's like, "Hey guys, I'm over here." And they're like, "Oh shit, he knows the way out." Yeah. He betrays them, sends them inside the abattoir, and then. Over. Game
and
over.
And then he
Judas
gets
goat.
His 30 pieces
Does he
of
live with the
it.
Guilt? Does just he is he is this, he
no,
does
he
several times?
I assume he has to kill himself after
himself.
A couple tries.
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
I can't live with that.
I can't wait to eat chicken wings later.
Wow, wow, wow. This has been an extremely insightful conversation, and I have a newfound respect. You know, I am also super hungry for venison now, so I mean,
me too.
I do have some of the stew that you made in the freezer still.
Oh, good.
Still, so I appreciated that. That was delicious. And there's some really tender pieces of meat in that one too. So,
all right. So when are we going out? Like, can you tolerate us both up in the blind?
We will be quiet.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can we do like the Anthony Bourdain thing where they like plot? To have a deer walk by right when the cameras come on.
I don't know how to do that.
Work
feed.
On it.
Deer
Work
corn.
On it. Deer, yeah. Yeah.
We'll just bait it up. Yeah.
Bait it up.
It'll
but
be,
then it would be fascinating
be easy.
Experience.
This, the next season is not until like September.
So I have time to prepare my
Do you
body.
Hunt anything else in other seasons?
I don't.
The ladies.
Not yet. The ladies is what I'm hunting right now.
It's lady season.
You could make
my brother
a nice
duck
stew.
Hunts. I'm sorry. My brother duck hunts and dove hunts, I think.
I would do that at some point. I would go and
I love
sorry.
A duck. We both cook
We love
ducks.
Duck. I made duck for Jared's birthday.
Oh,
it's his birthday
so
present. Was it curry? Did I make curry? I did. I did a duck curry.
You did, yes.
Yeah,
it was like
good.
A Thai curry.
Yep.
And you taught me how to cook the duck in the pan. You start with a cold pan.
That's right.
So
you
gotta
render
the
that
fat.
Shit down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it was
still
so
it was
good.
Too thin of a cut though, man. I fucked it up a lot.
Was it just a duck breast?
Yep.
Got it.
It was. And then we'll talk about this in another. We're going to talk about duck again pretty soon.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, Jared, Hobby Hunter. That's the name of your TV show.
Hobby Hunter.
All right, Jared. So one thing before we let you go. traditionally, whenever we have guests on the podcast, we like to ask them to pay it forward. So we've gotten to talk to you about something that you're super passionate about related to food and how you get access to food. And so we'd like to know what places in Charlotte, when you're not murdering to eat, what do you frequent? Like, what's your favorite place to go? What would you like us to support and call out?
So pretty much anywhere in Plaza Midwood is my jam. I really love the Workman's Friend. Mm. I love a good Irish pub. Legion also is a go-to haunt for me.
Oh.
Love their beer, love their food. Petra's is a great bar to go to. It's a fun place.
Nice and weird.
Nice and weird.
Calle
Sol. I've seen signs for Calle Sol, and it's a cevicheria, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, so I haven't
definitely
yet.
Will be trying that.
Let's
tried
do that either. Before trivia next.
All right,
night.
Let's go to Calle Sol.
I want my invite. Damn it!
It's all ready here.
Everybody's
invited.
Invited.
No,
I invited.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and educating us on the things that we are so ignorant of. It's nice to have a friend on the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for this batch, my name is Jen.
My name's Abby.
And this has been
Amuse Bouche.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.